This is KUCI 88.9 FM in Irvine. The opinions and views expressed in this program do not reflect those of KUCI, its management, or the UC Board of Regents. You can access shows live or as podcasts by going online to kuci.org. This is the In the Garden show produced by UC Master Gardeners of Orange County. I am Ann Liu for the hour. This week's topic is winter pruning of fruit trees in your garden. We have with us John Shara, Master UC Master Gardener, and I am so pleased that he can come in to the studio for this recording. Thank you, John, and welcome to the show.
Well, thank you, Ann. I appreciate being here. Thank you.
John has a vast resume of training as well as in the field experience with pruning fruit trees. Do you want to tell us a little bit about the fruit tree pruning experience you've had?
I'm an aficionado of fruit trees. I specialize in avocados and citrus, but I also have lots of stone fruit, palm fruit. And, of course, I volunteer with our master gardeners out at the South Coast Research Station, where we have several different orchards that we keep up. And one of them is that we have a persimmon orchard. We have a stone fruit orchard. We have high chill apples. We have pluots. We have cherimoyas. We have lots of things. So it's like almost a full-time job out there for us to get all this stuff up.
John has plenty of experience, although you cannot go see him out at the research lab. Sometimes that research lab has open house, and you can find out about that open house by going on South Coast Research and Extension Center online. We're going to be talking about taking care of your backyard garden. If you are so lucky as to have even just one fruit tree or 20 to 40 fruit trees, this is the podcast to listen to. We're going to be talking about cleaning and clearing the garden, pruning, treating for potential pests and diseases, recognizing pests, and care for tools, and how to choose fruit trees. So let's begin. Let's start with cleaning and clearing the garden. I know when I'm walking down my neighborhood, there are some gardens that you can tell the owners are up to their ears caring for their fruit trees. They may have last year's fruit still on their trees. The trees may be just too tall. And so if you have too much fruit from last year's season, it's time to get those fruit harvested. And you can find out volunteer organizations in your neighborhood or in Orange County by looking online for fruit harvesting volunteer communities. Clearing the garden, what do you advise people to do to clear their garden before they even get down to pruning?
Well, and let's look at it as a circle, okay? It's a process, and at certain times of the year, we're doing different things. Now, right now, we're in a dormant season. So that means we're going to be doing different things to our different fruit trees. For instance, okay, on citrus, this is the time of the year if you need to pull back your citrus because it's become too large or it's on the ground or something like that, now's the time to prune citrus. So we're going to push that back. And the reason we do it this time of the year, because the citrus is dormant and it's not going to throw out a tremendous amount of flush after we make these cuts, because we know when we cut the tip off the end of a branch, that sometimes eliminates the suppression from that acid that's emitted by that apical bud to hold down that vegetation. When we cut that off, that sometimes bushes out. So this is the time of the year to do it. You're not going to get that flush. So we trim our citrus this time of year. Likewise, on our avocados. If you have an avocado tree that needs to be topped, if it needs to be pushed back a little bit, not because it does anything for the fruit on the avocado, but you need to shape it for your yard, now's the time to get up there and make those cuts, because we're not going to get that flush that then is going to get sunburned. But it also gives us a chance to, if we're going to expose some wood on an avocado tree, especially because they're so very sensitive to sunburn, that it's not so hot right now. And we may not even have to, sometimes we whitewash the internal wood on an avocado if we're exposing too much of the internal wood because we don't want it to sunburn. But thinking now is the time to do that.
That's the same as for stone fruits. I know I've whitewashed my peach trees and plum trees as well. Mm-hmm. Very sensitive to sun. So this dormant season, dorm meaning sleeping time, is the time for the tree to re-energize internally. And by pruning now, it gives the tree time to store up its energy for the flush. And the flush varies by plants.
Exactly. There are different, now we're talking about different things now. When I was talking about sizing, and you can size and clean up your citrus and your avocados. Okay, good time. This is the time of the year to do it. On other trees, specifically stone fruit, we have to actually dormant prune our trees so we'll have reasonable fruit. If we don't dormant prune, for instance, a peach or a nectarine tree, what we'll end up with next spring and summer is a tree that's just a complete bush. There's no air circulation within the tree. We have lots of little tiny fruits that aren't edible.
So as John said, we're talking about different things, that each of the trees and types of trees vary by how we prune them. And so we're going to go through this slowly.
Okay.
Right? This because it varies a little bit. Some share in common that we need to clean and clear the garden in the sense of removing leaves that you see are molding on the ground. It's good to remove them and rake them up in some parts. Not the avocados, of course, because avocados like their leaves. Correct?
That's exactly. Now, I'm a big proponent of mulch, okay?
Yes, and I am too. I'm not talking about cleaning the mulch. Maybe the dead leaves that are on top of the mulch, right?
When we're talking mulch, it's material on top of the ground. That's mulch. If the material is turned into the ground, that becomes soil amendment. So what we're talking about right now is getting, at least what I'm thinking about when I'm thinking about trees this time of year, I'm trying to get the old leaves off the tree. Because there are certain problems, especially apples, stone fruit, a lot of other things too, I think plums. But what we like to do is we like to force dormancy, for instance, with apples. Apples here, because there's not enough chill, the apple never quite goes dormant. Okay? So even though we can grow nice apples around here, they just sort of stay green all year long. And that's not necessarily a good thing. What we'd like to do right now is get those, all that leaf, that's all that vegetation that's still on the tree, I'd like to get it off. I'd like to get old fruit off the tree too. And get that off and get it on the ground. Because if we leave that, we're asking for all sorts of fungal issues on our apple tree. So the first thing we do with our apple tree is to strip the tree.
I didn't realize that. Yeah. That's almost like what I do with my roses.
Yep.
So exactly, remove right. The leaves off apple trees. Mm. That is probably true for the stone fruit as well, right, John?
On what?
The stone fruits?
Yes, exactly. Same thing.
So generally speaking, but that's not true for the citrus, correct?
No. We're not stripping
citrus. We're not going to strip the citrus. And the citrus remaining are oranges, tangerines,
right.
Even the kumquats, we leave the leaves on.
Mediterranean climate, so we can grow lots of interesting things out here. Everything from rare and exotic tropical fruits to even high chill fruits of some kind. So you have to, it depends on what you have. Like I said, before we make it too confusing, if you're going to trim and fuss with your avocados and oranges, do it now. Basically, out in the orchards, we're lifting the we don't like to have the foliage on the citrus on the ground, so we like to kind of pick that up a little bit. We like to take out the dead and broken material, diseased material. We do that. Avocados, same the way. We're sizing them. If I don't want one hanging out in my yard, so I might take off a limb. This is a good time of year to do it because we're not getting that flush. Now, that's that fruit.
That's skeleton. Citrus and avocado, we care for the skeleton.
Yeah, exactly. We're just
the shape.
Just shaping the tree. And that's a personal thing mostly for us. Okay. I mean, if we left them on their own, they'd be fine. Okay.
But by removing the woody material, it helps airflow. And it makes a healthier tree.
It does. But we have to live with these trees, too. We can't let them become so big that they run us out of our front yard. So
yes.
We're fussing with our avocados and oranges. So that's, okay, so that's the end of that box. When you think about your citrus and avocados this time of year, just if you're concerned about size on your tree, whether it's height or width or whatever you're doing, just think that, okay, this is a good time of year to do that. You don't want to do it when it's hot. You don't want to do it when it's throwing off a lot of flush because that causes other issues, especially with citrus leaf miner on citrus particularly and other things. So remember, you're not doing a lot of work on this tree. You're just kind of sizing it. So that's citrus and avocado. Okay. Now, let's close the door on that because we're going to have to step over to something else and we shouldn't mix it up a little bit. And right now, we're in the middle of stone fruit dormant pruning. When I say stone fruit, that's mostly peaches and nectarines. We're doing that out at the research station. We're doing it over some school gardens. We're doing a lot of dormant pruning. If this is what you have to think about on peaches and nectarines. If you don't dormant prune these trees, you're not going to have any decent fruit. You're going to have tiny little misshapen fruit, and you're not going to be very happy with the way you've dealt with your tree. Your peaches and nectarines also, these are explosive growth kind of trees. They have to be maintained in size or they just overcome your yard. And most of us don't have acres. We're talking about small plots and we need to deal with our tree. This is the time of the year we deal with our stone fruit. Now, particularly, let's talk peaches and nectarines because that's what we're doing. The first thing you have to think about when you go to prune a tree for fruit production, you have to think about where is the fruit going to be this spring? Where does it come from? Because it's a little different. Palm fruit's one thing, you know, apples and pears are palm fruit, and stone fruit is something else. The fruit originates different places. Persimmons are different from peaches and apples. Yeah, let's be a little more directed here. Let's think about peaches and stone fruit. Okay, the fruit is going to appear on the new growth. When I'm talking new growth, I'm talking about growth that grew last summer. Okay, and usually you can identify that because it's the tip of most of the things, and it's also typically has kind of a reddish shiny color to it.
I see it now on mine. Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's your fruiting wood on your peaches and your nectarines, your stone fruit. That's your fruiting wood. That vegetation occurred last summer and spring and summer, and that's where your all your buds and all your peaches are going to be. And it turns out that if you look at a nice flush red branch there that grew last summer, you know that's where the fruit's going to be. The best fruit's going to be out on the last two-thirds of that limb. Okay. Now that's all fine. That's wonderful. Okay, well,
we're happy.
The problem is there's twice, maybe three times as much wood on that tree than you could possibly use. You have lots and lots of fruiting wood on that tree. Okay, so When I'm dormant pruning a peach or a nectarine, or trying to explain to someone what we're trying to do here, the fruit's going to be on that new wood. We know that. But we have to accept that there's too much. There is too much wood there. If we let all that stuff bloom, it'll set haphazardly. There'll be way, way too much fruit. The fruit will never
get to develop a big size.
To any size. Yeah. And if it does, it's going to break down the tree.
It's too heavy.
So nothing good happens. So, okay, just say to yourself, now how am I going to deal with that? Well, basically, think of it as thinning. We have to thin out some of that wood, okay? Now, if I take out all the wood, what's going to happen?
No fruit,
right. Well, I'll get vegetation later, just vegetative growth, lots of leaves and everything else, but I won't get any fruit. So we have to save some of our fruiting wood. So here's the gouge that we use when we're thinking about thinning a tree. When we step up to a tree, understanding where the fruiting wood is on that tree, and we understand it, we're going to be thinning that tree. So we're looking at the tree. The first thing I look at when I step up to prune a tree is a couple of things. I want to remove, this is the easy stuff, okay? I want to remove any suckers, okay? Now, a sucker is vegetative growth out of the rootstock of the tree. All our trees are grafted trees. They're cultivars, cultivated varieties, which means that there's a rootstock to the tree. That's how they grew that from a seed. And when they got it big enough, then they took a known quantity of a cultivar, they took wood from this, say, Anna apple or Bonita peach or whatever, and they grafted that wood to that rootstock so that the wood that's in the ground basically is one variety of peach, and the wood that's on top, your Bonita peach, is that, so it's basically two different species of peach in the same tree. Everything is grafted. All our trees are basically grafted. So any wood coming out from that rootstock, any vegetation, we don't want that. That just sucks the life out of the tree and it doesn't do anything for us. So the first thing we do when we look at that tree, is there any suckers? If there are any suckers, we take them out. And they're best if they're flush and nice, the best thing to do is just tear them off.
Because it takes care of that growth cell.
That's right. It tends not to come back as quickly if you tear it out. But if you have to cut it out, that's fine too. Cut it up. So anyway, get the sucker out of them. The next thing you do, this is all the easy money on pruning your fruit tree, okay? The next thing you do is look at your tree, okay? Do you have anything in there that's broken or diseased? Pretty obvious, okay? If it's broken or diseased, cut it out. So let's get all this. So we've done a couple things really easy. We've got the sucker out. We've got any broken or diseased things that are out. Okay, easy. We still haven't got to our thinning of our fruit tree, but we're getting close now. Now we're looking at the tree. Typically, we like to shape our trees in sort of an open bowl. So you can imagine a bowl of limbs coming up from the tree. And if I see some branch in there that's obviously crossing, it just doesn't look right, then I will probably take that out right now too. So I've taken out suckers, I've taken out broken or disease, I've taken out extreme crossing limbs. Okay, easy. We've got that nicely all piled up here now. Now we're going to think about thinning. Okay. So, and this is the easiest way to do that. Think about, you've got your shears in your hand that we've cleaned and sharpened, which are important to master gardeners, that we keep that we use tool hygiene, and we think about keeping our trees, our tools clean, and we think about sanitizing between trees so we don't move viruses and bacteria between trees. So we're standing there with our hand lopers or our small lopers, and we're looking at this tree. The way I like to do it is sort of move around the tree. What I see happen, if we just go at a little chunk of the tree, we tend to kind of drill into it when we kind of lose the perspective and the shape of the tree. So if you want to, think about as you're cutting, as you're thinning, that we're working our way around this tree. We're working our way around this tree. So we're going to do that. So we're thinking, looking at it, working at the shape. And you can pick up the shape much better if you're walking around a tree as you're doing this. So what we're going to think about doing, remember, where did the fruit come from?
The new growth.
The new growth, that new colored growth out there. And there's lots of it. So what we're going to do is we're going to go out to the tip of a nice branch, a good piece of our tree here. And we're thinking we're going to keep this branch, but it's got a lot of laterals coming out. It's got a lot of fruiting wood on it. So how are we going to do it? Well, I like to just start on the tip and start working down that limb. And what I'm thinking about is I would like to have one fruiting stem about every 4 to 6 inches apart. Okay. So if I have two choices, I'll pick the nice one, the pretty one, the one that has more caliper, maybe more size on it. So, and if I have a little thin one, I may take that one out and I'll take it right back to the lateral, follow that stem right to the lateral and cut that out. And what I'm looking for is to have fruiting stems 4 to 6 inches apart. And I'll just work my way down this limb, down each little limb, until I get that on that limb.
That's a great rule of thumb. It's 4 to 6 inches apart on a lateral, mm-hmm. and just move from the end inward.
Right, exactly right. Until you've done this whole limb, so you've thinned it. Okay, now, we're not quite done yet. Okay, we're not quite done yet. Then we're going to go back to those stems that we have left, those pieces of fruiting wood we have left, and we're going to take off. Remember I said that the best fruit occurs out on the forward two-thirds of the limb. And we still have to do a little more thinning, a little more thinning. So what we're going to do now is those limbs that we have left, the little stems that we have left, we'll go back and typically anywhere from 20% to 30% tip those off. Okay. So what have you done? You've stepped up to the tree. You know that you're going to be working your way around a tree. You've taken off the suckers, easy money. You've taken off the broken and diseased limbs, easy to do. Now we've taken out crossing limbs, obviously crossing limbs that go from one side of the tree to the other don't really help our shape. So we've got all that done, and now we've got this nice limb we're going to look at. It's got lots and lots of fruiting wood on it. And what we're going to do is thin that out 4 to 6 inches apart, saving our best and most likely fruiting stems, strongest looking ones. And we're going to try to get them 4 to 6 inches apart. And then when we're done with that, then we're going to tip those things 20%, 30% off the end of the tip. Now what are you going to do? I'm going to step sideways around the tree and take some more and repeat the process. So, and that way, we're going to develop the shape of this tree. We've thinned it. We've cut out all the disease stuff. We've cut out unnecessary vegetation. We've cut out cross vegetation. We've thinned, and then we've tipped our thin parts. And as we're working our way around the tree, we're giving the tree a defined shape. For instance, I want to keep this tree. I don't want this tree to be any higher than 6 feet or whatever.
That's right. You don't want to go on a ladder.
Yeah, I don't want to get a ladder. So I'm going to be bringing it down, and I'm going to be thinning it, and that's the process we use. And if you think of it that way, it doesn't become so tough. You're just
that
taking a little.
That sounds manageable. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I can do that. Mm-hmm.
We can all do it.
I can do that. That's wonderful to know. I have 3 peach trees mm-hmm. Planted close to each other, kind of like in a triangle.
Nice, yeah.
And bush. It makes it very, very pretty, especially when the flush comes in. We have a sequence, early, mid, and late season, and you can have the benefit of the fruit. Now, the first three steps that you mentioned, taking care of the suckers, taking care of the dead bark, and the crossing, those are basic principles for many other fruit trees.
Yes.
Not just for the peach trees.
Mm-hmm.
The peach trees you mentioned, I think we need it to protect it from sunburn, like the avocados.
Mm-hmm.
When is a good time to paint the tree?
Okay. Obviously, anytime's a good time. When I'm thinking about painting trees, okay, I like to paint brand new trees because they haven't had a chance to develop any foliage to protect the trunk of the tree or the inside of the tree. I'll always paint avocados when you plant them because they're very, very susceptible to sunburn. So we're going to paint those trees as we planted them.
And this is latex, 50-50.
With
weakened
water.
Latex.
Yeah, it's kind of a whitewash, really.
Mm-hmm.
So that's when you're thinking about laying on a little sun. It's just sunscreen is basically all it is.
Should I do it every year?
It depends, okay? If you've got a pretty well-developed tree that you haven't opened up the entire, you know, you can overdo the interior when you're trying to develop a bowl sometimes. So if you open up a lot of the inside of a peach tree or any kind of a tree, you've just overdone it in there, then I always like to slap a little paint on it. But if you're a little more circumspect about how you're thinning your tree, you're going to have, typically as it gets bigger, it doesn't need to be painted every year.
I see.
Okay. So that's not it's kind of a thing when you're starting. Now, unless, here's an exception. When you're doing an espalier, okay.
And you've got an espalier is almost like a two-dimensional plant.
Yeah. You've taken your poor apple tree and you've stretched it out 10 feet wide.
And they can be so beautiful.
I know, they're pretty bad.
But you still got to protect it.
And you have to realize that that's an unnatural sort of thing for that poor tree. So he's got a lot of wood exposed. It's not going to get shaded ever. So you may have to go back in there every year and slap a little paint on that trunk just to keep it from sunburning. Because you have to realize when something gets sunburned, whether it's an avocado, an apple, or anything else, that's not growing back, okay? It actually kills that bark right down through the cannulary and everything else. And when you do that, then you invite softwood borers. So
don't want that.
Mm-hmm. Think of it. It's just something to think about.
And don't want that.
Okay.
Very good. So we've covered peaches in good depth, and we've heard some basic information on how to clean and clear the tree. Before we go on, I want to do a little station break. You are listening to KUCI 88.9 FM in Irvine. The opinions and views expressed in this program do not reflect those of KUCI, its management, or the UC Board of Regents. You can access shows live or as podcasts by going online to kuci.org and looking up In the Garden Show every Thursday morning, 8:30 to 9:30. We have with us the master of UC Master Gardeners of Fruit Trees. Well, we have many, many masters, but my favorite is John Shara, and so I've invited him back. He did a podcast earlier with me 2 years ago called Winter Care. You can access that older podcast in our vault. If you look up our website, we have our website, no longer the old one that we drilled into you before. Never mind, it still works. But the new one is MG Orange, MGORANGE, MG Orange. That's easy to remember. Master Gardener Orange, like in Orange County. MGOrange.ucanr.edu. Also, we have a hotline where you can ask questions about anything we're talking about or something we haven't mentioned but is an important question that you have about your backyard garden, you can go on hotline at mgorange.ucanr.edu. We give advice to grow by. Just ask us. We are UC Master Gardeners, volunteers to help disseminate information from current research in backyard horticulture. Let's move back to John. There's so much that he has to share, and I want to use every minute of his time here in the Studio B. We just covered peaches. You mentioned plum fruits. Shall we go to that?
Sure. Love to. Now's the time. Apples. Now, of course, we're talking apples and pears. Okay. Same thing. We need to force dormancy. We need to get those leaves off our apple and pear tree. So we're going to pull all those leaves off. We're going to pull all that fruit off. Now, how do we handle an apple tree or a pear tree? Remember when I talked about where's the fruiting wood on the peach tree?
Yes.
Okay, Ann. Where's the fruiting wood on
the
apple?
Oh, you're going to quiz me. Is that on the apple?
Uh-huh.
Well, we have the spurs.
Exactly.
Okay. Oh, good.
Now you develop fruiting spurs on an apple or a pear. It's typically on older wood. Okay.
Different from the peaches. Peaches are on new wood.
Last summer. Wood, that's where the buds were. But on an apple and a pear, it's a little different. You go back to an older wood. It's usually a lateral. Okay. Not necessary, but usually a lateral. And you can tell the difference between a fruiting spur and a vegetative spur. Okay. And I'm talking little lateral limbs. The vegetative spurs, it's a limb. It's got leaves on it. Yeah,
they're green. There are no spurs on
it. They're growing like crazy. And that's a vegetative.
They're kind of vertical, right?
Yeah, and they want to go vertical. They always want to go vertical. Okay. A fruiting spur on an apple is usually a little gnarly thing. Okay. About half the size of a pencil eraser, I guess. And these things develop. They look like little buds along the limb. Okay. That's called a fruiting spur. That's where you're going to get those four or five blossoms that you'll get from your apple when they bloom. And typically, you're going to get, if you don't knock that thing off or take it off, you're going to get apples there for several seasons. That thing is going to
Many seasons.
Yeah, exactly.
Years.
Yeah, it just just keeps coming back.
So they're very precious, right?
Exactly right. Mm-hmm. So that's our fruiting wood on an apple. Okay, let's do the same thing we did before. We've cleaned our tools. We've sharpened them. We're ready to go. We're poaching this apple. What do we have to do to that apple tree to make sure that we have decent apples? Now, not little tiny thumb size at millions of little tiny apples that are inedible. I'm talking about nice, big.
So similar to peaches, you've got to thin it somewhat, right?
Oh, yeah.
So why don't you tell us about them?
We should back up and mention about we pruned our peach tree, but we didn't. You have to remember when that thing, even though we've cut out all that fruit wood and we've tipped those remaining pieces of fruiting wood and everything else, there's still way too many blossoms. There's going to be way too many pieces of fruit.
You're talking about peaches.
Peaches now. Backed up just a little bit.
Right.
Because you mentioned thinning.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. When those little fruits develop, when they're about the size of the end of your finger, you have to go in. If you want decent sized fruit, you're going to have to go back in there and thin them again. You're going to have to thin the fruits. Remember, we thinned the limbs first and we tipped them and so forth. But now, in the spring, once that fruit is set, then we have to go back in and thin them. And guess what you have to thin them to?
Is it like every 6 inches or so?
Yeah, 4 to 6 inches.
Four to six inches.
Yeah. So if you've got two little fruits here next to each other, one's got to come off. And then the next little fruit that down the limb or up the limb ought to be about 4 to 6 inches from it. And if there's two there, take one off. Now you're going to have really nice quality sized fruit. So that's thinning. Now let's back up a little bit. Let's go back to our apple tree. We remember where the fruit wood is on an apple tree. It's on those fruiting spurs. Now what do we have here? Well, we have the same issues initially that we had on the
peaches.
Peach tree. When we step up to the tree, guess what the first thing you ought to do is?
Well, you still need to walk around the tree and check for those suckers. Mm. You still want to look at the bark. You don't want ants crawling up. You want to jet spray them, maybe. You want to look at the condition of the bark. You want to get rid of the dead woody branches.
We do want to take... What do we want to do? We want to take off those suckers. Okay.
Tear them off if you can.
Next thing, what do we want to do? We want to take off dead and diseased, dead woody, broken branches, all that stuff. So easy. Same thing we did on the peaches.
Right.
Take out the suckers. Take out the dead material. Take out the broken material.
And crossing you're still aware of. The shape, you mentioned bowl shape for the peaches. Do you want more? The canopy is a little bit different for the apple?
Not really. Everything for us in backyard gardens, trees that need to be
circulation.
Small trees.
Small.
Because we don't need it. You know, an apple wants to be 40 feet tall. An apple wants to be 20 feet across.
Don't be misled when you buy that apple tree and it says dwarf. Even a dwarf or a dwarf tree, you want to keep it down.
Exactly. So we're talking about sizing our trees. We're talking about cleaning them up. And again, thinning to produce decent-sized fruit. So, okay, we've taken off the sucker. We walked around it. We know that. Okay, say for instance, I like an open bowl, just a little bowl, not too high, maybe topped out at 5 or 6 feet so I can pick the fruit.
That's right. No ladders.
No ladders. So we took off the suckers. We took off the broken and diseased material. We took off the maybe crazy cross things.
We can't say that enough.
Yeah, take it all out. Well, so that was easy.
Yes.
That was the same on,
basic.
Now it's the same on apples as it was on peaches. So now what are we going to do? Again, walking around the tree as we do it, because it's easier to keep the size of the tree in your head as you're walking around and doing this. What has happened in there over the summer is this apple is thrown off these just all sorts
beautiful
of vegetative spurs, okay?
Yes.
Okay. It's just way too much, okay? They have to be thin. The tree has to be thinned out.
Okay? Got to tell it to go to sleep and rest.
That's right. Exactly right. The tree is, and we don't want all this, because otherwise it's just going to be basically a fur ball. If we don't cut all that stuff out of there, it's just going to be a ball of vegetation.
And that also invites disease.
It invites everything, and it invites no improper pollination. It's just not right. Okay. So you're going to be thinning out the tree. You're going to be bringing the tree down. And you're going to be looking at what I like to think about is the same thing, 4 to 6
apart
for lateral branches. I want to get good, nice, 6 inches, say, between decent limbs that are parallel to each other. But basically, we're just thinning this whole thing out. And we're topping it, bringing it down so it doesn't get too high, because apples really, really, really want to be high. Okay. So we're walking around and thinning this tree out. So in the middle, it might be a little higher. On the sides, it might be a little lower. As it comes out to where right at the edge, they might even be a little lower yet. So it's a thinning process. And I'd like to see, like I said, 4 to 6 inches between limbs, and thin out your laterals on those limbs, 4 to 6 inches. It's all basic stuff.
But the difference is not cutting back like in peaches, you cut back.
Yeah, we can cut back here because we're going to keep the growth down. But we're thinking about, I'm looking at a limb that has no fruiting spurs on it. We know what fruiting spurs look like, don't we? They're little...
Little furry, little Q-tips.
Thick, yeah, little cute little
enlarged
branches,
Q-tips.
Yeah, sticking off on a limb. So if I'm looking at two limbs, and I know I need, I'd like to thin this out, I'd like to have a little separation there, at least 4 to 6 inches between these branches, and I have a choice between two limbs. One that doesn't have any fruiting spurs on it.
Well, that's an easy one then.
And the one
which
that
one
does.
You keep, yeah.
Okay, so let's take out the one. It's most likely that's a new branch,
you want
new
the productive
branch.
Ones, yeah.
We'll keep this little older one, and that's how we're going to keep. That's how we're thinning out our apple as we walk it around. So we're bringing our apples down. We're thinning out the wood, and remember, let's save a few fruiting spurs. Now, let's talk. So we've done all that. Okay, let's talk about then how we make sure that because we're still not home free. Because each one of those fruiting spurs is going to produce 4 to 5 blossoms. And most of the time, you're going to end up with 4 or 5 little apples there.
So, it looks like a starburst.
That's right. So you're going to thin that. What are you going to thin it to, Ann?
We want it to be 4 to 6 inches apart,
mm-hmm,
the
that's
fruit.
Good. That's good.
Because you don't want it too heavy.
What are we going to thin it to?
You want it, what
so
do you mean,
have
4 to 6 inches? Yeah.
Let's say you have 5 apples there. How many are you going to keep?
Probably 1.
Yeah, that's right. Okay, exactly right.
Can't be too greedy.
No.
You want a quality fruit.
Well, if you want a piece of a nice apple.
A nice apple,
yeah.
Right.
Yeah, otherwise, you're just going to have a little tiny apple and it won't be much good. So anyway, what have we done? We've stripped all the leaves. We've took off the suckers. We've cut out the disease material. We've taken out the crossing material. We've shaped the tree. We'd like the way we want them, and typically that's an open bowl sort of thing. We brought it back down because we know how high these things want to go.
And for apple and pear, we remove the foliage.
Exactly. And we're going to remove the foliage on everything. On what we're right now. We're taking all the leaves off everything because we don't want those old leaves hanging on from last year. And giving
meaning
us
the apple and pear.
Apple and
when
pear.
When you say everything.
And same,
right?
With the, same with the peaches.
And the peaches.
And everything else. Okay, so we
but not the citrus.
Not the citrus. No, no, no.
We got to be real specific here. We have some.
Don't pull the leaves off the citrus.
Listeners who are listening very carefully to every word, St.
Right.
John.
Okay, we've done. Let's review this. That's where if there's any confusion. This is the time of the year to size your citrus and your avocados, just because they might be too big. Okay, there's no reason to do it unless they're too big or annoying you or something. So size it now. It's a good time to do it. Cut out the dead stuff if you can get away with it. Then we go to our peaches and nectarines and
apples.
Apples. So
we
went through this process of thinning. We went through this process of cleaning. We went through this process of forced dormancy, meaning get all the leaves off and just clean up the tree. Okay. We're good. We're good. Do you have any questions about that?
Now, avocado,
mm-hmm.
How is that different?
Avocados, remember, all we did was we nipped on the tree.
For the growth?
For scythe,
mm-hmm.
For size.
For size.
No, we're not messing around with fruit or anything else on the avocado. We're
leave just, the leaves alone.
It's a tropical, subtropical tree.
And so it's used to being green year-round.
Right.
All right.
It would be tickled to death if we just left it alone, but we're going to have to do it because it's going to get too big in our yard.
We want to get into a few more fruit trees,
okay.
As well as I want you to talk a little bit more about mulching and
okay.
Pests and diseases. And so let's add a few more fruit trees and then get into that other stuff. Pomegranates.
Ah, pomegranates.
You like them?
They're fun.
Yeah.
Well, they remember that you have kind of a wild thing in your yard when you put a pomegranate out there, okay?
It's a crazy, crazy tree. But I love it. I love the weeping shade.
I know.
It's so pretty.
But they're weepy and they're pokey and they must be maintained, okay?
All right.
Okay. Now this is the way I like to do a pomegranate. They're easy to grow. The fruit's wonderful. There's lots of different varieties and they grow perfectly here. Get a lot of good reasons to have pomegranates. But remember, pomegranates really, really want to get big, and they really, really want to take over everything.
They're big water users, too.
Yeah, they are. Well,
but they're so nutritious.
If they get water, they'll take it.
They're very nutritious.
Yeah.
And so don't hesitate to start a pomegranate.
If you're going to plant a pomegranate, this is not for the...
Weak at heart?
Weak at heart. This is... You must commit. This is a commitment when you plant a pomegranate. Because if you ignore this thing, it's just going to be a monster back there.
It's the biggest tree I have in my yard.
It's going to be awful. So, they are easy to grow. They do produce a lot of fruit. But there's, if you want to keep it so it doesn't overtake your backyard, then there are some things you need to do deal with it.
Okay, let's talk about what we've got to do.
Okay. The pomegranate, when you plant it, what happens is at the base, it constantly wants to throw out shoots from down there at the base.
I'm constantly.
Those come out every time you see them, okay? You don't want that, okay? Typically, the easiest way to do it is select one or two short stalks from that pomegranate and everything else that comes out down there low. And when it's nice and green and flush, you can just go down and pull it out almost. But it's a constant 24/7 thing. They just keep coming up, and you just get down there and keep pulling that stuff out.
Because
you don't want that tree expanding the bush expanding at the base. Now, the way pomegranates fruit, they again fruit on last year's wood. Okay, so. If I've got a limb that grew last summer that went way out, it's got multitudes of laterals coming out, I can expect all kinds of fruit from all those different laterals. For instance, if I took a pomegranate and just cut it all the way back to just leaving a one or two big stems there, I took all the little branches off, it would flush out beautifully this spring, but I wouldn't have much fruit. Okay. If I leave all those branches on that limb, I don't cut it all the way back, but I leave all those branches on there, it's going to be a complete mess. I'm going to have a lot of fruit, but a lot of it won't get pollinated because of the, so you're going to have a lot of little tiny fruit again. So, again, what do you suppose that we're thinking about?
Got a thin...
Thinning.
Somewhat.
Yes, we're thinning. And because we have to live with this thing, we don't want it to be 12 feet high. Because, again...
No ladders.
And I'd like to be able to maintain the thing. And, again, I don't want it to just take over everything. So, what we're going to be doing is the same thing. We're going to walk up to the tree. If there's anything growing out underneath the base there, I'm taking it out. I treat it as a sucker, because I guess it's what it is anyway. And then I'm going to probably look at one, two, or three nice up branches. And I'm going to keep those as permanent branches. And then all the vegetation on those branches is going to have to be thinned out. And it's going to have to be brought down, because we're talking about these things get really high quick. So the way I kind of like to do it is I'll get in there at first. And again, if you can walk around the thing, it always works better. But I'll reach in there and I'll find there'll be vertical vegetative limbs as big around as your thumb, to big around as your small finger. There are just lots of them.
Lots.
So you get in there. What do you suppose? 46 inches maybe, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Let's start cutting those off where they attach at our big limbs and start pulling a few of those things out. And then we'll go over to the next one and start pulling a few of those out. And what have we done? We thinned out the thing.
That's the easy way to
thin it out.
The three main branches.
Yeah, so mm-hmm. we've done this thinning. We worked our way around the tree and we pulled it. And so now we got verticals that are 4 to 6 inches. Okay, that's fine. The next thing I want to do, the ones that we have left, I'll want to go up there and top those things, bring them down, because I know they're going to get bigger and higher, and so bring them down. So we've thinned them out to 46 inches, and now we brought them down to a size that we like. And typically for me, that's, you know, 6 feet tops. I like to keep those trees down pretty small. And we'll what's going to happen? And then I will get in there and thin out some of that other laterals that are coming off those big laterals. See, I've thinned the laterals. I've got vegetated growth now 4 to 6 inches apart. I brought it down to 6 feet. And then on those laterals that I have left, I'll probably take out some laterals in there 4 to 6 inches. Okay. You see the pattern here, 4 to 6 inches?
Yes, yes, it repeats.
It works. It works just fine. It may not be the perfect way to do it, but it seems to.
It gives space for growth and fruit.
And then, with the pomegranates are a little different. When they start flushing, when we start throwing all the leaves, you're going to have all kinds of vegetative growth going crazy. What I like to do is, now that I've got this bush down where I can maintain it, what you're going to have in there is just this massive flush
foliage.
So what I like to do is go in there and just thin some of that stuff out. For every 3, I'll take 2 out. And that opens it up a little bit, so they'll pollinate easier, and you'll be much happier with the results. So,
and you'll love that fruit.
Yeah, so we went through the dormancy period here. Remember with your pomegranates, it's a constant chasing of those
suckers down on the bottom.
Well, exactly. Those always have to come out. Those always are coming out. We're pulling our tree down. We're not cutting it all back. You can, but you won't have any fruit that year. And then remember that pomegranates tend to be big 1 year and not so good, you know, not a few fruit next year.
I'm glad you mentioned that.
Yeah, it's intermittent.
How about persimmons?
Persimmons are different again. Okay. We step up to the tree. The first thing that comes out is what?
The suckers.
Suckers, yeah. So let's take the suckers out. We know what suckers are. Those are below the graft. Those come out. The next thing we take out is what?
The dead woody material.
Dead and broken. Okay. Extreme crossing. And on a persimmon, you might expect to see a lot of broken material, because you get an awful lot of broken branches on persimmons. Now, where's the fruit wood?
Is it on the new or the old? My guess is new.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I should go to Vegas.
but it's a trick, okay? You've got this new wood that grew last summer and spring. So you may have a little trifoil-looking effect on the end of a limb. So you've got 3 little branches come out, and they've got some buds. Okay. Here's the trick on a persimmon. Each one of those little buds, rather than throw out a blossom like a peach might or something like that, what's going to happen, it's going to throw out a vegetative growth.
Oh, no good.
And then that vegetative growth is going to develop a flower out here. So you can imagine.
Oh, it's hard to tell.
It's going to be awful. It's going to be, this thing is going to be thrown. That's why if trees aren't, persimmon trees aren't pruned, that's why they break down, because you have this huge, massive bloom, and then you get fruit all over the place, and then it just breaks a limb off.
Oh. Okay?
So that's a little hard to visualize that. So you've got these little twigs now that have this bud on it from last summer, okay? But rather than having a blossom in each one of those things, what it's going to do is throw out a little vegetative growth, like another limb, okay? And then the fruit's going to be out on the end of that stuff.
And it's just too weak to hold the weight.
Yeah,
so exactly. What do you do?
Well, so we're going to have to thin it, right?
Yes.
We have to thin it. So I'm looking at that new wood, okay? If I cut all that new wood off, okay? If I cut all that, just went around the tree and left it kind of like a staghorn kind of tree with all that new wood cut off, then there are just big pieces now left and everything, I'm going to have a lot of leaves next year, but no fruit.
Hmm.
But But if I leave all those little new twigs that were on there from last summer, then the tree is just going to completely overwhelm itself. It's going to break all down all over the place. It's going to be a mess. That's why you walk by and you see some this guy's limb of a persimmon tree, and he's got a 2x4 or something under it holding it up because it's trying to, the whole thing is trying to come crashing down. So what you're going to do, you're going to get up there and you're looking at, realizing that those little twigs that are coming out are going to become other little twigs, okay? That one little twig might have three or four
fruit.
Three or four other branches
that will bear fruit.
That will all have fruit on them, which will be impossible for that
one
branch
to hold.
So what you're going to do is you're looking at those, and you're going to have to, for every three, you probably need to take out a two, okay? So you leave one, and then the one that you leave, you want to tip a little bit, okay? You just want to knock the tip off a little bit. So I know that might, it seems, I wish it would, it's easy, and every fruit tree is the same, but they're not. They're all a little different, okay?
Just like people.
I know. What are you going to do? So if you're thinking about persimmons, then that's the way they behave.
Ah, is there any other plant like the persimmon?
Pardon?
Is there another fruit tree like the persimmon with this special kind of twig?
I don't think there's anything else quite like that.
That's very interesting.
But they require a lot of pruning.
Very interesting. I have now 21 fruit trees. We've run out of time, so we can't get into grapes and the vining fruits. And that would be fun to have you back to talk about.
We can do that.
Is that done during the winter?
It's done right now.
Oh, so maybe I should have you back. We can maybe do another part.
Yeah, we need to do grapes.
Mm-hmm. Hang in there, listeners. John knows so much. You notice that I gave him freelance pretty much. The first time I did him, I was adding things, but I felt I don't need to add a darn thing. I should just let John go with it, and he did. And this was a wonderful show. Thank you very much, John. He mentioned a little bit at the beginning about how important it is to mulch and to keep the garden clean. Mm-hmm. You want to be aware of fungal growth, and there are dormant sprays. We're not going to have time to talk about dormant sprays, but that's something you can check.
Let's talk about it real quick.
You be real quick?
Real quick, okay.
30
dormant
seconds.
Dormant sprays.
Yes.
Okay, they're suffragants, okay? They're mineral oil and emulsified paraffin. That's what we're talking about. And we spray dormant sprays on our pruned tree right now to basically suffocate the little what they call wigglers, which is an immature form of thrips and so forth that are now trying to climb up our peach trees. And that's what dormant spray does. So you'll spray it on all the wood, you'll spray it on the ground immediately around the trunk of the tree. And remember, it's just mineral oil. It's not something, you know, it's an organic kind of thing, or it's an emulsified paraffin. That's all it is.
So you can check with the nursery, a good certified nursery.
Yep.
Say that you need some dormant spray. Name the kind of fruit tree you have, and that will set you. And you need that spray on for at least 2 days before the rain comes back. And some you need to repeat, maybe 2 days or 14 days. Read the label. Read the label. The label is the law. Thank you very much, John, for your time.
Thank you.
We're going to continue this for a part three. Thank you, listeners. You have been listening to KUCI 88.9 FM in Irvine. Thank you, John Shara.